0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Premiership is back with a bang. Leaders Celtic head to Kilmarnock. Rangers have the advantage of a game in hand and the pre-New Year bragging rights as they host St Mirren. And it's third v fourth as Motherwell head to Aberdeen. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
And it's back 24 days after it stopped. The league season resumes tonight. And it's all to play for, and I think we're all looking forward to it. I think we've all missed it. Some great stuff in the papers today and in the comments from Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon. And it's getting to that stage already where it's a kind of squeaky bum time. It's just as much about mentality as it is about ability when it gets to this stage. It'll be interesting to see, but a real difficult game for Celtic tonight away to Kilmarnock and some other interesting ties. It's all good.
I mean, some people, Jim, have managed to spin out the aftermath of the last game for 24 days. But it is great to have not only the Premiership back, but everyone playing at the same time, under the lights. The run-in starts now, top, middle and bottom. It's going to be fantastic from now to May.
Yeah, well, they're all saying, I mean, what's done is done. They've got to look forward now. Now is the important part of the season. What everyone else has done, regardless whether you're at the bottom or you're at the top of the league, is you've given yourself an opportunity to challenge for whatever your targets were at the start. So if you're Rangers and Celtic, your target's to win your league. If you're Hamilton or St Mirren or any of these clubs, you've got to try and avoid relegation. And Hearts have also made big changes as well in that little break. And Daniel Stendel's ruffled a few feathers along the way. But again, they seem to have found a wee new lease of life as well. So yeah, everything is bubbling up nicely, and the next few months is going to be very interesting, Gordon.
We've got signing news. We've been speaking to Stevie Clark, giving an injury update on the likes of McGinn, McTominay, Tierney, and the possibility of moving some fixtures to accommodate Scotland for the Nations League playoffs. But before we do any of that, let's build up to tonight's games. We need your help. 0141 951 1025. Give us all your pre-match thoughts, all your pre-match predictions. What are you expecting from your team? Who should play? Get on here, pick your starting 11. Who do you want to see involved tonight? 0141 951 1025. Let's start going around some of the grounds. We'll go to Ibrox first. The big game in this part of the world, Rangers against St Mirren. Alison Conroy is looking ahead to that one.
Yes, Stephen Gerrard wants a better performance from his Rangers side than against Stranraer in the Scottish Cup so they can pick up where they left off as the Scottish Premiership returns from the winter break. St Mirren, the visitors tonight, the players out on the pitch at the moment having a little look around. You need to look right back to 1991 for St Mirren's last victory at Ibrox. If they can do that tonight and results go their way, they could move up to 8th in the table. Greg Stewart and James Taveney are still out injured. Nathan Patterson could feature for Rangers again after impressing against Stranraer, and of course Alfredo Morelos is still suspended. The sides last met in Paisley back in August, a close game. The difference between them that night was that Borna Barisic free kick. Team news, Gordon, in around about half an hour here.
We're going to get some team news suggestions from the callers, hopefully, on 0141 951 1025. But Mark, is that the obvious talking point? Does young Nathan Patterson keep his place in the absence of Captain James Tavernier?
Every chance. Stephen Gerrard singled him out on Friday night after the Stranraer game, and rightly so. You know, 18-year-old, he said nothing phases him. He just went in. He's handled being involved with the first team and training with them well. And he's got a chance. Is John Flanagan available?
Yeah.
You would like to think, you know, if you're John Flanagan, you know, with the greatest of respect, if you can't get in ahead of him, then you know John Flanagan should be questioning himself, because you can see Stephen Gerrard want to give the kid a chance on Friday night because it's a game that Rangers should win. But tonight you're now into the territory you can't afford any slip up. So if John Flanagan is not playing tonight, then that would suggest that he's got a bit to do, and that, I think that wouldn't be, from John Flanagan's point of view, he'd be very disappointed.
That's just one of the considerations for you then, Rangers fans. How are you feeling? Confident home advantage against opposition from the bottom half of the league, and who should play? That's an important question on game night. 0141 951 1025. Let's go to Rugby Park. A fantastic game in prospect there, Kilmarnock against Celtic, and Andrew McLean is going to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, well, it seems like ages ago since the last time we had league action, doesn't it? But here are two teams that will be desperate for all 3 points tonight. Celtic can't afford to drop anything with the title race being so close, and they'll be craving a win because obviously their last Premiership memory on their own patch by Rangers. They have won in the Cup against Partick Thistle since that, but definitely no margin for dropping points for a second league match in a row. As for Kilmarnock, well, they got back to winning ways at the weekend as well, but they really needed it. Five straight losses before the winter break, and they hadn't scored a goal in six. It was a miserable run, but they'll be feeling confident after putting six past Queen's Park, and they'll hope Chris Burke is in the mood again after his six assists. As for team news, Aaron Johnson back fit for Celtic, but still no El Hamid or El Yunusi. New striker Patrick Klamala is available again, as is Lee Griffiths, who made a goal-scoring return on Saturday. Kilmarnock's new forwards Harry Bunn and Nick Kambamba made their debuts at the weekend. They'll be hoping to make an impact again tonight.
Any update, Andrew, on Ismaila Sorrow? That's getting extremely close. He's passed his medical.
Yeah, very, very close, as you say. It's not quite over the line yet. He has passed a medical. He's already been welcomed on Twitter by Celtic, but he's still awaiting a work permit and for that move to get international clearance, although you can imagine that because they've tweeted that they will be confident that those will go through. A deal, we understand, has been agreed for around £2 million from Bnei Yehuda in Israel. Celtic have obviously had success in that market before. Neil Lennon describes him as a very mobile defensive midfielder. He could maybe take the strain off of Callum McGregor and Scott Brown, who play so many games for Celtic. And he certainly fits into that model of sort of buy them relatively cheap and hope they develop with an eye to bringing in a much bigger fee. So that one certainly close to being completed.
A few interesting considerations for the Celtic fans out there on the line, Jim, tonight, because Griffiths comes back in, doesn't tend to play alongside Edouard, so we'll see if that one comes to fruition this evening. Still a couple of injuries elsewhere. James Forrest had missed out at the weekend. Christopher Iyer comes back in, as does Mikey Johnson. So interesting to see what Neil Lennon comes up with.
Yeah, well, I mean, the width part about El Yunusi missing, Forrest missing, obviously Christie has been integral in the way he plays, and Neil Lennon went to a diamond against Partick Thistle to get the two strikers up top. And he said himself, he had a little tweak at the system just to try something different. So, it'll be interesting to see if he goes along the same way. He's traditionally went 4-2-3-1. For the most part, of course, at times he has went 3 at the back. But again, that flexibility in the Celtic system might be a good thing in the second half of the season, because maybe he felt that they were a bit too similar at times. But given that two strikers, if you've got Griffiths and Edouard, and also gives an opportunity for Klamala to fit in there as well, then I think there's questions to be asked, and it'll be interesting to see what the formation is come kick-off time.
Let's hear from you then. What do you think? Who's going to play tonight? How do you see your game going? 01419511025. Every single team in the top flight involved. So let's hear from as many of you as possible. Stephen is a Rangers fan from Houston. I'm sure you've been chomping at the bit, Stephen. It finished on a high before the break. What are you expecting tonight?
Evening panel, how we doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'm kind of expecting one of the kind of similar games what Rangers play the Stradar game, to be quite honest. I'm expecting someone to be coming to Ibrox, sit behind the ball, and like Stephen Gerrard said earlier in his press conference, and they'll try and hit Rangers on the counter attack. But I think a lot of Rangers fans need to remember that if teams are doing that, Rangers are not going to come out and 3, 4, 5, 6 goals. I mean, I hope it happens, don't get me wrong, but if it doesn't happen and Rangers win 1-0 tonight, then it's 3 points in the bag and I'll be quite happy about it, to be quite honest with you.
I agree with you, Stephen. I said now, we're getting that stage of the season, it's the second half of it, and I'm not expecting every week Celtic and Rangers to go and win 4, 5, 6-0 and dazzling football and everybody going home delighted. There's going to be a lot of nervy games. There's going to be 1-0s and 2-1s and last minute winners, etc, etc, maybe dropping points. So yeah, I agree with you. Now it's not about pretty football, it's about getting points, because it's all about the mentality of showing that you can go out and do it. And for example, tonight, against a packed St Mirren defence, can you break them down? For Celtic, can they go away from home to a difficult venue and go and win the game? All big questions, and the players have got to go out and do the business.
Yes, this is where mentality comes into it, Jim, because you can look at that in a couple of ways. You can talk big picture in terms of, Celtic have been used to winning things, what will it be like for them to handle the close challenge. You can flip it on its head for Rangers, but even within games, because as Stephen says, that there will be an expectancy. This is, everyone's been festering away for the last 3 weeks, all of a sudden, you know, you come out tonight and fans are expecting great things. So even within games, perhaps a bit of patience will be required.
I think supporters are absolutely vital now, the second half of the season. The Rangers fans have to create an atmosphere. I've been at a couple of games where they've started really well. I'm talking about the fans, you know, at the start of the game, first 10, 15 minutes, really buoyant, really good atmosphere. And then it's just went really quiet. Almost you can sense it. Oh, we haven't scored yet. And I think that at times, that particularly this season, you know, with the challenge that Rangers are looking to make, the fans really have to try and create that atmosphere, get that adrenaline pumping through the players' veins. Because, as Stephen said, if you get a team who goes there and sit behind the ball and make it difficult and compact, then it's going to take patience. But what they don't want is frustration, you know, emanating from the fans. So I think the supporters are absolutely vital for Rangers getting these type of games where they know that they'll dominate possession, but it's how quickly they can break down the opposition. And, you know, again, you know, the contest for St Mirren tonight, or, you know, the challenge for St Mirren will be that organisation. And Steven Gerrard, it's not a surprise to Rangers, and it shouldn't be a surprise to supporters either.
Who do you want to see in the starting 11 tonight, Stephen?
I think the starting 11 pretty much picks itself now, but obviously the Morelos out and Defoe starting up front. I'd like to see Nathan Patterson get a run in the team. Other guys there like John Flanagan, Matt Polster, Andy Halliday could possibly play over there at a push, but I think to Bonacy, you've got to show the youth into the team and kind of bring them forward. I'd like Kai Kennedy to get more of a game tonight, so I'd like to see Rangers get out and bagging in a couple of goals early, and hopefully we can get that Kai Kennedy on and get him a few minutes in the team. But another thing I was going to say as well, does any of the panel know that if there's any truth in this Barcelona wind up, or whether it's just paper talk for Morelos in January or even the summer?
I did see the headline. I'm sure everyone saw it getting sent around group chats and on social media. I think it was just I can't remember who the quote was attributed to.
One of the Columbia managers.
Yeah, someone National sort of team, yeah. It was well, someone well suggesting it yeah, wasn't Pinto. It rather than
yeah, saying it'd be ideal for Barca. Whether he's on Barcelona's radar or not, you never know. You know, they'll have scouts everywhere. Scottish football's not usually where Barcelona do their shopping.
You wouldn't have thought so, but
however, listen, you could never rule anything.
You were at the new camp on Sunday night, so I'm just waiting for someone to find a picture of you in the stand, put two and two together. Yeah. You're acting as some sort of middleman and come up with 53. And yeah, I think that's the rumour. We'll get going.
He was doing his press duties there. He was going to look at an interview with their director of football and stuff like that, just to see.
Quite right.
Yeah, just see, yeah, come, you know, Barcelona, come and get me. Says, yeah, I was there. Barca v Granada Sunday night. Barca 1-1-0. Lionel Messi scored the winner. So
he's not bad. Him. I've heard of him. He's good. Right, Stephen in Houston. Lovely. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game tonight.
On the team news, by one of my most decorated Ibrox moles has assured me that John Flanagan starts tonight at right back.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, we'll get back to that when the team is announced, because there's perhaps a longer term thing at play here, bearing in mind two Rangers have got coming up in the coming weeks. Anyway, let's get a Celtic perspective from Pat in Govan Hill. You looking forward to the Premiership returning tonight, Pat?
Yeah, not so much the plastic pitch though, but a bit like Hugh Keevan's lap. But my point is, the transfer market, Celtic looking for a right wing for Forrest. To me, I watch every game, he's already there. Frimpong, he's not a right back. It's showing the old firm games. He's only young, give the boy a chance. I would actually, because El Hamid's a bit injury prone, I would actually sooner sign another right back and the mould of Lustig that could play centre-half and right-back, feed the ball to Frimpong. I would not like to be a left-back playing against Frimpong with speed up front instead of the defensive part. I think Frimpong is a... I'm not joking, but in years to come, he's a Sterling mode. Ram Sterling mode, you know, he gets the ball half-line, runs at you, and it's a nightmare. And as my point is, I think we've already got a right-winger there. Mikey Jones is better on the left than the right. I would actually play him tonight with Bauer behind him.
Okay, right. No suggestions a bad one at this time, Jim. It's Frimpong moved forward to replace James Forrest, says Pat.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. He did used to play as a winger. I think he was a winger initially. He's converted to right back. I mean, Pat mentioned there Lustig, who can cover. Well, that's El Hamad, who when he's fit can also play centre back and play right back. So
I mean, Pat's got him down as injury prone. Granted, well, he he certainly has had injuries so far, but is it a bit early to consider him injury prone overall?
I think if you're there two or three seasons and that happens, then fair enough, you know, you're maybe a bit likely to get that tag. But at this moment in time, I think he's had one significant injury and, you know, he's not back yet. So I think for that one you can wait. As far as Frimpong's concerned, again, it can depend. A lot of players who are higher up the pitch, you know, when there's players tighter to them, you know, when they've got their back to goal, you know, all these kind of things, you know, when the movement, you know, if the ball's on the left-hand side, and Pat was mentioning Sterling, not at the moment, I get that, but that type of movement, when to come in off the flank, like James Forrest does very, very well, then I think that takes time. So I don't think he's quite at that level yet. I think he's still better to play right back because, you know, as far as Celtic is concerned, you know, they dominate 90% of the games anyway, so they're always going forward. So the full backs are, you know, really, really important for them. So I don't see that changing at the moment, but, you know, you never know. I mean, you know, Lennon might just look at it, you know, and I think he's more suited to the three at the back. We're playing as a wing back, because then he's got the full length to go. He's got no one in front of him, and I think he suits that better, but. At this moment in time, listen, he's a terrific talent, a real exciting talent, and I think just give him time to learn the game. I think he's just turned 19, isn't he? So let's give him time to learn the game, and then perhaps by the time he gets to 21, then he might, as Pat says, maybe looking to push forward a little bit more.
Pat, how difficult a fixture is this to get things back underway? There are a couple of ways of looking at it. Kilmarnock were on a dreadful run before the break. They get back to winning ways, albeit against Queen's Park. There is the pitch. It's worth considering. They have been problematic for Celtic in the past. How difficult a fixture is it?
I'll be honest, I'll call him Mr. Rogers. He had one thing right. He said, you'll never ever get a good game in a plastic pitch. He was totally right there. The likes of Hamilton, Kilmarnock, every game's, doesn't matter, your Celtic Rangers, every game's 50-50. We're not 50-50, we should win, but they pitches make a big difference.
Go along with that, Mark. Is this a? I mean, how difficult a fixture is it? I know
for Celtic,
yeah, they go into every game as favourites, pretty much. But yeah, well, if you were to hand pick a fixture to return after a 3 week break, I don't think this would be it, would it?
No, and I was at Kilmarnock, as you know, Gordon, on Saturday. You're right. You've got to take into account the level of opposition, with the greatest respect to Queen's Park. But I did say in my summary at full time that the style of football that Kilmarnock played, the way they passed and moved, their movement, the final, it was the way Steve Clark had them buzzing a year ago. As you know, I watched Kilmarnock a number of times, and I could see that back in Alec Dyer's team, which shouldn't be there in the previous game when I watched them before the break when they lost 1-0 at St Mirren. So there is no doubt that middle to front, Kilmarnock are on it. You look at some results on Saturday, maybe one or two of the teams back for the winter break, a wee bit sluggish. There was no evidence of that on Saturday. What it was, and they weren't defensively tested, but it was good for them that Stuart Finlay was back in the team. But if Celtic are going to win tonight, Celtic will have to be, I would say, Gordon, at the very best. No passengers tonight, otherwise we'll drop points.
Pat, thank you very much for your call. It's 01419511025. We are going to hear from Neil Lennon, Stephen Gerrard, and get you some team news next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy is here, Mark Guidi's alongside him, and every single team in the Scottish Premiership is playing tonight. So let's hear from you. Get all your pre-match thoughts into us on the phone, 01419511025, or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Aberdeen, Motherwell, Hibs, Hamilton, Killy, Celtic, Livy, St Johnstone, Rangers, St Mirren, and Ross County Hearts, all happening, all 7:45 kickoffs. So let's keep the build up going. Craig is a Rangers fan. He is going to the game tonight, I understand. Craig, what are you thinking ahead of it?
Yeah, I'm just in the car now, actually, on my way. So I think for me, I sort of disagree with the last Rangers fan that was on. I want to see Flanagan starting tonight. I like young Patterson. I thought he's done a fantastic job against Stranraer and the friendly game that they played as well. But, you know, I think a bit like what the guys were saying, for me, if John Flanagan has still got a place in the squad, which I assume he does, then for him not to get in a game like this in the league where Tavernier's injured and he's competing with a young player like Patterson, if I was him, I'd be very annoyed if I didn't get into that team. And I think I think Flanagan's a good player, and he's more than competent at doing a job against St Mirren. So I would see the reason. My biggest worry tonight is that the last
couple of games at Ibrox that Defoe's played, he's not exactly been at his best. Against Kilmarnock, he was frustrated. He got a frustrated figure. He couldn't break them down because they set up highly defensively. Stranraer also set up highly defensively. And again, that was frustrating for him. He eventually got a goal. And, you know, St Mirren will do the same. And I just worry where a pattern's emerging where he's getting more and more frustrated against teams who do sit so deep. And the worry is, if he has to come off, or if Gerrard decides he wants to change it, I don't know who he brings on. I know against Stranraer he brought Ojo on, but again, he's not really a striker. He was a makeshift striker, basically. So that's the worry. That is why I have felt throughout this January transfer window it would be beneficial to have a third striker at the club. But yeah, so I think that's the only concern I would have.
Yeah, some fair points. Let's start with the last point first, if that makes sense, Jim. The attacking options for Rangers tonight.
Yeah, I think a very good point there. I think we've just seen Zach Ridden going to Partick Thistle there just last week. A young striker who, you know, looked like as if he was on the periphery of the first team, you know, for a little spell, but didn't seem to materialise. But you know, I agree that you know, if you know it's not working with Jermaine Defoe, we Alfredo Morelos suspended, there isn't really a natural option. I mean, he would have to change the way. Maybe he's been trying Ojo, a little bit similar to Celtic done with Lewis Morgan. Maybe he's been trying him in that central position at training, away in the training camp, and he thinks, wait a minute, that he can do a job good enough for us to have Morelos back into the fold again. So obviously we're not aware of that, but yeah, I do think it's a valid point.
And on Craig's other point, Mark, you told us earlier on it's your understanding John Flanagan will play tonight.
Yeah.
How much of that is about tonight, and how much of it is about the trip to Tynecastle? Because you perhaps could put up a really strong case for Nathan Patterson playing tonight. You maybe wouldn't be as inclined to put him in at Tynecastle, and if you need Flanagan at Tynecastle, then you need him to play tonight.
You've got to get him into a rhythm. You've got to get him playing regular football, which he hasn't done all season for Rangers, and right back's his natural position, so he should be absolutely fine stepping in there. But you know, one of the previous callers, Stephen, had said, you know, and Kai Kennedy coming on tonight, let's get a couple of goals. Listen, this is a business. This is about winning the league. This is, with the greatest respect, this is not about giving youngsters a chance for the sake of giving them a chance, unless they absolutely deserve it, or unless they're forced to play them because there's no other options. But if you've got seasoned campaigners ready and available to come in, you go with them, because you can't afford to slip up. Whether it's at home to St Mirren or away to Hearts, you've got to do it. And then Craig's other point, to go back to the point about Defoe and the striker option, for exactly those reasons, I wouldn't expect Rangers to bring in another striker in this window, because they can maybe move Ojo in there, or if Greg Stewart had been injured tonight, he would be a natural replacement for Defoe after an hour if the game's wrapped up or whatever. But for those points, that's exactly why Alfredo Morelos must improve his disciplinary record for the second half of the season compared to the last 4 or 5 weeks. He has to get back to what he was like August, September, October,
available every week. Yeah.
Yes. So you can't have that, because potentially, Gordon, if he has to sit out another 3 or 4 games after this suspension between now and May, that potentially could cost Rangers the title. So he must, the old Glasgow saying, keep the heat 100%.
Wonder what the translation is for keep the heat. Someone will tell us. Craig, enjoy the game. You're on your way to it. Let's get some team news starting to break through from the various grounds across the country. Very interesting Celtic team tonight, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just a Celtic team out at the moment, but it's another change of shape from Celtic, and it's two changes in terms of personnel, because Nir Beaton and Greg Taylor both drop out. In come Jozo Simunovic and Johnny Hayes, so it'll be a 3-5-2 for Celtic here at Rugby Park tonight. Fraser Forster starting in goal. It's a back three of Jozo Simunovic, Christopher Julien and Christopher Ayer. It's in a midfield five of Jeremy Frimpong, Olivier Cham, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor and Johnny Hayes, with Lee Griffiths and Odson Edward pairing up front. The substitutes, Gordon, Taylor, Bauer, Arzani, Johnson, Bayo and Klimala. Still to get the Kilmarnock team news.
Jim Duffy, what do you make of that?
I don't really think it's much of a surprise. I said he's played three to the back several times, Neil, and I think that if you look at it, to get that two strikers on the pitch, you either got to play a diamond or you play three to the back. So he's went with three to the back. Again, it gives him physicality, three big centre-halves. It gives him pace with Johnny Hayes in the wide area and Frimpong. It gives him, you know, balance in the midfield, getting Cham in there as well, and two very, very important strikers up front. So Listen, I think it's a really you know, statement of intent from Neil Lennon in terms of how he's going to approach his game tonight.
We don't often see Simunovic on plastic pitches either, but he's in there tonight. Let's get the Rangers starting 11 from Ibrox. Alison Conroy.
Yeah, and it will be John Flanagan who will start tonight. A few changes from that win against Stranraer in the Scottish Cup. Alan McGregor in goal, a back four of John Flanagan, Connor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Borna Barisic. That will be Glenn Kamara, Ryan Jack and Stephen Davis, with Jordi Bo and Ryan Kent supporting the lone striker of Jermaine Defoe. On the bench, Fotheringham, Edmondson, Halliday, Patterson, Jones, Arfield and Ojo. For St Mirren, it is just one change from that Scottish Cup win against Broxburn at the weekend. Vaclav Kladke in goal. It'll be a back five of Ryan Flynn, Paul McGinn, Conor McCarthy, Akin Famaho and Callum Waters. In the midfield, Junior Marias, Cammy McPherson, Sam Foley and Kyle McGuinness. And the lone striker, as usual, will be Jonathan Abika. Yet to get the St Mirren subs, Gordon.
So there we are. Team news coming in across the country. We'll bring you as much of it as we possibly can. Craig is a Kilmarnock fan from Johnston. He's going to the game tonight. We'll get your starting 11 in just a second. Craig, you've heard the Celtic team though. Does that fill you with confidence or dread for what Kilmarnock are facing tonight?
I don't really go into many games constant as of recent. I think we have had a really bad spell coming into Christmas and the new year. I was there on Saturday. I think it was a breath of fresh air, seeing some goals that I'll be back for once. A lot of people have said that it shouldn't be taken as such because of the lack of the level of opposition we played. What I will mention is that Queen's Park were very well drilled on Saturday. I believe one of the guys in the panel tonight was at the game. He can perhaps comment on it with me, but they played five at the back. The guy in the middle of that back five had them in a line. They were solid. We struggled to break through at times, and I think the only reason we can got there late on was because of fatigue. But I think tonight, I think if we're back to the way Steve Clarke was playing, I heard that mentioned earlier on in the show as well, the Old Firm coming to Rugby Park hasn't been easy in the past couple of years for them. We've always made it difficult. We've taken points off. We've had a couple of good wins. And going here tonight, I genuinely think that we can knack a draw and maybe even 3 points. I don't want to be overly confident, so I'm not having to phone back tomorrow on my tail between my legs, but I think there's definitely a point there for us.
Well, just while you're on the line, let's see if we can get the Kilmarnock starting 11 from Andrew McLean. That might inform your prediction a bit more, Andrew.
Yeah, just the one change for Kilmarnock, and that's Greg Kilty, who drops two at the bench, and Nicky Kabamba comes in for his first start for the club. So it will be Jan Koprovic who starts in goal once again. A back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Stuart Finlay, Alex Bruce and Nico Hamalainen. The midfield three, Alan Power, Gary Dicker and Mo El McCreaney, with Chris Burke, Nicky Kabamba and Harry Bunn the front three. The substitutes, Lauren Chubrunescu, Connor Johnson, Eamon Brophy, Greg Kilty, Ian Wilson, Harvey St Clair and Dario Del Fabbro. The referee tonight at Rugby Park is Don Roberts.
Craig, are you happy with that?
Definitely, I am. I'm happy to see Larry Brunescu at the team. I think Koprovic deserves a chance. I was on the show just after the Motherwell game. I think it was late December, and me and you both discussed how he had an absolute howler for that free kick. I think he went to Ibrox. We played a good game at Ibrox. Unfortunately, we lost. He made a good couple of saves at St Mirren. He could have done more for their goal. And Koprovic, obviously, I don't think he even had a shot to face on Saturday. However, I think it'll be good to see what he can do against a high level of opposition. I think the back four's solid as always, Stuart Finlay back in there. It'll be good to see Harry Bunn and Nicky Kabamba going up against the competitive opposition as well. So again, looking at that team, I'm still confident we can get a point or maybe three.
Mark, I think a lot of that was directed at you, since you watch Kilmarnock a lot, yeah, including the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Kabamba's a handful. He came off the bench and stuff. And, you know, one of the points that Craig makes is right in terms of the difficulty in breaking Queen's Park down. That said, they were three up by half time, but I think six of the goals came from like set pieces, between three picks.
Chris Burke set every single one up, didn't he?
Six assists. So, you know, as I say, Queen's Park never tested Koprovic in goals on the back four. Really, but looking at that team, Kilmarnock will get it full of confidence. There'll be a good home support. Then, like I said, if Celtic are to get the 3 points tonight, they will have to be at their very best. And looking at that Celtic lineup, I just love seeing two strikers. We don't often get it, and it's great to see partnerships back in the game like that.
Let's hear from Neil Lennon then ahead of this one.
I was pleased with the performance the other night. You know, I thought there was a good vibrancy about us, and you know, we could and should have won the game by more. So, you know, we step into a difficult game tomorrow night, and confident. You know, we're looking forward to the game and players are motivated to, you know, get the 3 points. I think Alex might go back to the way they were playing previously. They had a good win at the weekend. But we know the venue's tough and we know that the artificial surface isn't always conducive to playing the style of football that we like, but we're aware of that. I'm away from home, so like I say, it'll be difficult, but it's a game that we're looking forward to.
We already brought you that Rangers team, the only real talking point, John Flanagan in, no Nathan Patterson tonight. Here's Stephen Gerrard.
Well, listening to what their manager said, I think they're going to be very organised, compact, hard to beat, and very stubborn opposition like they was in the game away from home. And we needed, obviously, a moment of magic from Bournemouth to find the answer. So, yeah, we think they're going to be organised, compact, and try and play us on the counter-attack. So, quite similar to what Stranraer tried as well.
Is it fair to say you maybe need to step up a level from Friday night?
Yes, definitely. I think the first fixture is always a little bit tough because obviously you have had that couple of weeks without a fixture. It's the reason why we put a bounce game in here at the training ground as well, so we can get what we feel is the right amount of minutes into the players to get that little bit of rust out and try and find the rhythm a bit quicker, because we obviously had a setback this time last year with not having the Cowden Beath fixture. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can find a better level than against Stranraer. Having said that, we had 80% possession, 30 efforts at goal. Stranraer didn't shoot at our goal, so I can't be too critical of the players.
We're going to get your reaction to the team news and more team news coming in from Pittodrie next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. This is your 1 hour warning. Every single team in the Premiership will restart their league campaign in an hour's time. We can't wait. Hopefully you feel the same. So get your calls and your tweets and help us build up to kick off across the grounds. We've already given you team news from Rugby Park, from Ibrox. Let's go to Pittodrie, third against fourth, a great fixture up there at Pittodrie. Dave Galloway is keeping an eye on Aberdeen and Motherwell.
Thanks very much, Gordon. It's a really important game for both teams, as you've just touched upon, as the battle to secure third place intensifies. There's only 1 point in it right now, with Motherwell holding a narrow advantage, and the Steelmen are looking to get even after a 3-0 defeat by the Dons at Fir Park back in October. Striker Chris Long's keen to continue his fine form as he closes in on a new deal. 6 goals in 5 games for him. Aberdeen manager Derek McInnes is vowing his team will go on the attack as they look to leapfrog their rivals, and the visitors will have a good go themselves with all points towards an entertaining encounter. Aberdeen make a couple of changes. In come Lewis Ferguson and John Gallagher. Out drop Conor McLennan and Bruce Anderson. It looks like 4-2-3-1 for them. Joe Lewis in goals, Shea Logan, Ash Taylor, Scott McKenna and Andy Considine at the back. Sitting midfielders Funzo Ojo and Dylan McGeoch. Further forward, John Gallagher, Lewis Ferguson and Niall McGinn up top. And as ever, Sam Cosgrove. The subs: Cherney, Devlin, Campbell, Hedges, McLennan, Anderson and Main. 2 changes also for Motherwell. Liam Grimshaw and Liam Donnelly come in. Out drop Richard Tate and Jermaine Hilton. It's Mark Gillespie in goals. A back four of Liam Donnelly, Declan Gallagher, Peter Hartley and Jake Carroll. Midfield, Mark O'Hara, Alan Campbell and Liam Paulworth. Up front, James Scott, Chris Long and Liam Grimshaw. The subs: Carson, Tate, Seedorf, Illich, Mugabe, McKeever and Njoli. And your match referee tonight at Pittodrie is Willie Collum.
Great game to look forward to that, Jim. You look at the table, it tells its own story. Third against fourth, fourth,
yeah,
against third.
Yeah, I mean, it's vital. You know, they want European football, you know, and you know, they want to, they know this season it's all about being third. You've got to kind of get in your own wee league. And you know, both of those teams, you know, are vying for it. I think Motherwell for an outstanding season, but Aberdeen have just hung on in there. You know, they've not been at their best, but obviously Derek McInnes has brought in Aidan McGeady there. You know, a terrific footballer,
Dylan McGeoch.
Dylan McGeoch. So it's always good to get to the right player, and then obviously they've got Sam Cosgrove,
Celtic youngster who went to Sunderland. Yeah. I can see the link.
You're trying to dig me out, but it was just, there's no excuse. So yeah, Dylan McGeoch. So listen, it's a fantastic to get a top footballer in there, and again a bit of more creativity in the middle of the pitch, and I think that maybe that's something they look to link up the play a little bit more.
And of course you came awfully close to at least part of a cup upset at the weekend. It took a late Sam Cosgrove penalty to see Aberdeen through against your Dumbarton side.
Well, it would have been a cup upset, there's no doubt about it, even if it was a draw, you know, in terms of, you know, still being in a tie. But Listen, Aberdeen, as you'd expect, dominate the possession. We understood that, you know, but we're not there. It was a part-time team to make it difficult to be organised. They asked him the question, can you break us down? And, you know, by and large, we've done that really, really well. But, you know, any kind of top team will eventually, you know, find a solution. And they managed to do that, even though from our point of view, it was a bit painful. But listen, as a manager of a team like Dumbarton, all you can do is praise your players for the performance and the effort they put in. And, you know, I think there'll be a few games like that tonight. You know, I think St Mirren going there to Ibrox. Steven Gerrard said they're going to play maybe a little bit like Stranraer. And I think that, you know, when you look at games, Stevie Farrell had said, look, they try to put Rangers wide and throw balls in the box, and they had a back five, at times a back six. I think because obviously Defoe in there, he's not that type of player. Mm-hmm. You know, so Rangers will have to find a way of moving the ball quicker, a little bit more incisive, because if they don't, then they will come up against a brick wall.
Just to give you a flavour of the reaction coming into the Celtic team on Twitter, Mark, Beef is on. He says, very bizarre to me that Hayes comes in for Taylor, who would be used to that surface. I still think we'll have enough. Butcher's Doug Food says, what, there's a couple, we kind of sweary suggestion in there, but what does Taylor need to do to get a game, or what does Hayes need to do to get dropped? I'm noticing a real theme. There's still, rightly or wrongly, I'm making no judgment, but the reaction we get, there is still a bit of confusion among some Celtic fans as to why Johnny Hayes is so clearly above Greg Taylor in the pecking order.
Oh, I mean, I've not seen Celtic that much in the past few weeks, couple of months even. But what I do know, and I've always said, Greg Taylor, you'd have to be very special to be better than Greg Taylor. And obviously, Neil Lennon prefers Johnny Hayes. But I can understand why someone like Greg Taylor doesn't get more of a game, particularly tonight, going back to Rugby Park, where it's like his home surface, he's sat where he knows it, the place inside out. But clearly, Neil Lennon at the moment prefers Johnny Hayes. Before that, it was Bolly, Bolly and Golly. So, you know, Greg Taylor's well down the pecking order. But I think he'll still come through and make that left back slot his own, because the much of Celtic supporters haven't seen a lot of him yet. He is, you know, a top player. By Scottish football standards, he's a top player.
Surprise you, Jim?
No, not a big surprise, no, because we've seen it time and time again. You know, I mean, you know, when there's an option to play Johnny Hayes, particularly in this system with the three at the back, you know, Johnny Hayes is a winger. So, you know, he's maybe looking at Kilmarnock thinking they'll be compact, they'll get, you know, they'll play end up like a 4-5-1 when they don't have it. Can we stretch the game? Pacey, direct. I don't really see an issue. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all down to, you know, opinion. But I think that, you know, Johnny Hayes is a good option on that side. I said you've got him and Frimpong. So you've got real pace in the wide areas. And then a team that will defend really well and go back to the Stevie Clark, you know, kind of philosophy, if you want to call that, under Alex Dyer. Then, yeah, if you can get the ball out, switched out to the other side quickly, then you know you've got real pace with Johnny Hayes on that side. So no, for me, I don't think it's a major surprise.
Gary's a Rangers fan from Newton Mearns. Are you confident tonight, Gary, having heard the team news?
Yeah, I think so. I think that should be a good enough team to be able to get 3 points against St Mirren. I wanted to make 2 points, if that's okay.
Sure.
So the first point was, you were talking about, you know, you weren't sure about, I'm not sure if it was you, but it might have been Jim, that you're not sure about Rangers attacking options up front tonight.
It was one of the previous callers, actually, and then Jim sort of came in off the back of it.
Right. Sorry, I wasn't accusing him of anything. But I just think, see if there is any problem with Defoe tonight and he has to go off, I think you can easily play Ryan Kent through the middle. And I think that you could also bring on Scott Arfield and play him up front. The other point I wanted to make was, do the panel think that playing John Flanagan at right back is going to unbalance the team? Because basically the team go down both sides. And I feel with John Flanagan, although I think he's probably a stronger defender than the young guy Patterson, I think he is going to take away from us going down the right-hand side tonight. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Borna to really make things happen down the left.
What do you make of that, Jim? Because I know he's naturally right-sided, yeah, but you need to go some to get forward as often as someone like James Tavernier.
Yeah, and also the amount of assists and crosses. But listen, the way Rangers have played, you know, even before Steven Gerrard came in with James Tavernier in there, you know, was so important to the style. As Gary said, with both fullbacks really high, really wide, making those deliveries. Kent coming in one side, Aribo coming in the other side. I mean, it's a system that Rangers have really worked well under Steven Gerrard in particular. So listen, there's not a natural replacement for James Tavernier, absolutely. But whether it's Patterson or whether it's Flanagan, they will still be asked, obviously Flanagan tonight, he will be asked to get a bit higher, you know, and get himself, you know, higher up the pitch to see if he can get those tighter balls in the box. But as I mentioned, St Mirren will have a line of five players in there, so they can't just throw balls in just for the sake of it. They've got to play it. So maybe a different type of right back, you know, maybe playing little give and goes, little 1-2s round about the box, might open up the defence. But yeah, and again, another point that Gary made, yeah, Kent probably could play through the middle, Arfield could play through the middle, but they're not natural strikers. And I think that's the point that, you know, the calls were making earlier, that, you know, if Defoe gets injured, if he is, you know, not maybe at his sharpest, then how do Rangers find that extra solution when Morelos is still suspended?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The first victory of the night could well be you on tonight's Beat the Pundit. You could get yourself a signed ball if you come on here and answer more questions right than Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy. I know it sounds simple, it's a bit harder when the pressure's on, so if you think you're up to it tonight, 0141 951 1025. Call quickly because the lines close at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Less than 45 minutes till kick-off in the full fixture card in the Premiership tonight. Every single team back in action after a 3-week winter break. So keep your calls coming in as we build up to kick-off. Who should play, who shouldn't play? Well, you know who's going to play, so whether you disagree or not, then you can be telling us what you make of the team lineups tonight, match predictions, anything else that goes into it. Keep the calls coming. We're also going to hear from Scotland boss Stevie Clark. He's been speaking today. He's giving an injury update on the three big names who look like they may miss out, depending if you're a glass half full or half empty type character. You've got McGinn, McTominay and Kieran Tierney. He's also suggesting the possibility maybe we could still do something with the fixture list to give Scotland a bit more time to prepare for that Israel game. But anyway, before we do all that, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are standing by, and one of them will be taking on Murray, who's a Rangers fan, somewhere between home and Ibrox. Going to the game tonight, Murray?
Yes.
Looking forward to it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Good stuff. Producer Andy has now corrected his mistake. It popped up on my screen. That's why I didn't read it out. It said Murray was from Blamefield, and I thought that's either a typo or I've never heard of Blamefield. So he's now corrected it, and it's Murray from Blamefield. So there we go. Murray, I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you're up against Mark Guidi, and if it's tails, you will be taking on Jim Duffy. And it's tails, Jim Duffy against Murray from Blainfield tonight. So I'm going to give Jim some Clyde 2 to listen to, Murray. That way he won't know what we're saying any longer. He's giving me the thumbs up. You've got 30 seconds head to head with Jim. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Okay, go.
Right, let's do it. Which Australian team has Jack Hendry joined on loan?
Melbourne.
Prior to Jack Ross, who was the last Scottish manager of Sunderland?
Pass.
Dundee United youngster Scott Banks has joined which English Premier League side?
Peterborough.
Which team plays at Capello?
Morton.
How many points currently separate Rangers and Celtic in the Premiership?
One.
Who did Dick Advocaat manage immediately after leaving Rangers?
Zenit.
What was Johnny Hayes' first Scottish club?
Aberdeen.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
You got us, great. Same set of questions to you. Ready?
Okay.
Let's do it. Which Australian team has Jack Hendry joined on loan?
Melbourne.
Prior to Jack Ross, who was the last Scottish manager of Sunderland?
Pass.
Dundee United youngster Scott Banks has joined which English Premier
Crystal
League
Palace.
Side? Which team plays at Capello?
Morton. Green at Morton.
How many points currently separate Rangers and Celtic in the Premiership?
Two.
Who did Dick Advocaat manage immediately after leaving Rangers?
Zenit, St Peterborough.
What was Johnny Hayes' first Scottish club?
Inverness Caledonian Thistle.
Which team is known as the Dunhamers?
Queen of the South.
Okay. What do you make of the competition, Murray?
I would get beat. I think so.
Okay, let's find out the damage. You got off to a good start. Melbourne City, you've been reading up today, Jack Hendry is heading down under. Prior to Jack Ross, the last Scottish manager of Sunderland,
Davy Moyes.
So it's 1-1 after two questions. Dundee United youngster Scott Banks is joining Crystal Palace. Jim Duffy gets it, moves into a 2-1 lead. Which team plays at Capello? Morton, obviously, was the answer. You both got that one, so it's 3-2 to Jim Duffy. How many points separate Rangers and Celtic in the Premiership? I'm afraid it's 2, Murray. You went for 1. So Jim Duffy stretches his lead. You both, interestingly, went for Zenit, but immediately after leaving Rangers, Dick Advocaat.
Holland.
It was, yes, the Netherlands. So there we go. Johnny Hayes' first Scottish club was Inverness, I'm afraid. Murray then went to Aberdeen and the Dunhamers, Queen of the South. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Jim Duffy. And only a 2 for you, I'm afraid, Murray. Hard lines. Good stuff. Enjoy the game tonight anyway, Murray. Maybe he's got one.
Cheers,
one defeat out the way and his team will win and make up for it later on. That was Murray. Somewhere between Blainfield and Ibrox. 01419511025 in the phones. At Clyde SSB on Twitter. So let's hear from you. Get all your thoughts in. What about the other fixtures, just to give them the attention they deserve? Naturally, we're focused a lot on Glasgow's big two so far. St Mirren and Kilmarnock, the opposition. We've given you team news from Aberdeen Motherwell. Still big games elsewhere, Jim.
Yeah, well, massive games. Hibs Hamilton, Livy St Johnstone in Ross County, Hearts there. You know, and I think that Hearts, as I mentioned, I definitely just sense a change of mentality round about Hearts with Daniel Stendo. I think he's obviously just coming in. He's got the tackety boots on and he's not taking any nonsense. So, you know, he's going for it. And I think he had to. I think he really had to show real leadership there. And obviously the proof has to come with results, but for me, I think Hearts will be a team now, I think, who will improve significantly. Livy St Johnstone, yeah, both teams again in good form actually, and I think that'll be a close call, but Livy maybe on the artificial surface might just to the edge. And Hibs Hamilton again, obviously the recent stuff regarding Brian Rice, the manager, but on the pitch, you know, Hamilton again, one of these teams everyone expects to falter, invariably surprise the critics. And Jack Ross will be looking for a strong second half of the season with his Hibernian side.
Let's hear from Scotland boss Stevie Clark, shall we? He's been speaking today. We've not heard from him in a while. This is always the worst part of the international year, isn't it? You go from November until March, is it going to be really without any fixtures? We've got that huge game against Israel coming up, and unfortunately we've got some serious injuries. First of all, I think, try to think of the order, it was Scott McTominay first and then John McGinn, Kieran Tierney, all looking at about 3 months, which takes you up pretty much to that game. So we were asking Stevie Clark today if he's got an update. Is he hopeful that those three players could make it?
There's not, I don't think there's going to be a shutdown, and it was never something that...
Tell you what helps if you play the clips in the right order.
I think they'll be close. All three will be close. Whether they're close and make it or whether they're close and just miss it, it's going to be decided by recovery. Without having first-hand knowledge of how the clubs recover the players and have the exact details of what's going to happen, how the recovery is going to be, then it's difficult for me to sit here and engage it. I do know that all the players will be doing their best to be fit.
Been much talked about, though, the strength of that midfield. If it's McGinn and McTominay were to miss out, how encouraging is it to see John Fleck getting rave reviews, linked with multi-million pound moves, Stuart Armstrong really playing his way back into Premier League football as well?
No, Stuart's played his way in. Kenny McLean's doing well at Norwich. John Fleck, like you said, has been really good for Sheffield United this year. I enjoy watching Sheffield United. I've got John Fleck and Ollie McBurney there. Good team to watch, to play well. Ollie's done well. And it's nice to see them all working, but a lot of the time you guys or you people in front of me like to talk about the players that have not been in the team. I thought the midfield pairing that I've had in the last couple of games, Ryan Jack and Callum McGregor, did very well for us.
Jim, it's not a case of keeping his cards close to his chest, just no one knows. Just we quite simply don't know if those players will be available. They're clearly, all three of them are extremely talented footballers. Bizarrely enough, the midfield though, just we've got so many options. That's not to say you don't want those guys, of course you do. John McGinn was probably the main man in the campaign. But there are encouraging signs from the likes of Fleck and Armstrong, as we heard there.
Yeah, but I think it was really important and quite significant. He mentioned Ryan Jack, you know, in that situation with Callum McGregor, because, you know, yeah, they're very, very good players. And they're playing for two top teams, let's not forget that. You know, and they're playing at a high level, they're playing European football. They're probably as consistent a player as you can get anywhere around the country. So I think, we miss good players, of course we do. But, you know, we do have very good options in that area. And the problem you've got with the international setup is you mentioned the delay, but there's another 2.5 months to go.
Yep.
So you don't know what's going to happen, whether these players could get an injury, a pick, even just a little knock the week before it. So listen, it's a very difficult thing for Stevie Clark to look beyond, you know, a week, you know, just to see what he has, because every week he'll probably change, you know, this is my team for this game, and then sure as fate something happens. It's a very, very difficult time, and I'm sure he's having to try and adjust his mind, because it's the first time he's experienced it. You know, he's always been a club manager, so yeah, it's a learning curve for Stevie as well, and I'm sure it's a very frustrating one. But listen, we want every top player we can have available, because these matches are absolutely crucial. Let's not disguise that fact. Absolutely massive for the country. And to give us our best chance, we want everyone available that we can possibly get.
Yeah, and you know, you want to have a big selection. You want to have a headache get into that game against Israel. And hopefully, you know, 4 days later, it's either away to Norway or Serbia. But a lot can happen. Anyway, you know, now, you know, Andrew McLean's there saying, you know, John Fleck and different things. Somebody else could emerge that can just string 3 or 4
that
games.
That was actually
together.
Me, by the way.
Was that you?
That was me.
Was it?
They let me out, they let me out the office for
that.
It was probably because McLean. It was a reasonably intelligent question. We weren't.
Yeah, I know. I thought that, yeah.
Sorry,
I got sent to a press conference for the first time in 3 years.
Apologies, Gordon. Yeah.
That's all right. I don't take
anyway,
it personally.
So, a good question there by yourself. Good on you.
Thanks.
So there's a lot of what we need to find, and we don't have a magic wand, but what you hope that, you know, can we find a right back, or are we happy with Palmer? Can we find a number 9 as Lee Griffiths going to emerge? Is Ollie McBurnie going to, you know, really find his feet and get on it with the second half? Midfield we've no problems yet. Shankland, maybe Shankland going to get a move before this window closes. I don't think you could rule that out. And are we going to have a central defensive partnership? So there's a number 2, a number 9, an essential defensive partnership, and if something really solid can emerge in all those areas, I would really fancy us to get through the 2 games and qualify. If we're struggling with a number 9, a couple of set of halves, I think we're up against it in the second game.
There's been a bit of debate, a bit of discussion about what can Scottish football do. Can we reschedule some of the fixtures? Can we have some sort of shutdown to give the Scotland national team as much time as possible to prepare, as good a chance as possible of progressing? Here's what Stevie Clark's take on that currently.
I don't think there's going to be a shutdown, and it was never something that we never requested a shutdown. All we asked for was common sense, and if the broadcasters would not put a game on in the Sunday, if the league wouldn't play any matches on the Sunday, that would be great. But we also know on the back of that there's a potential for Celtic and Rangers to hopefully still be involved in the Europa League in the week before, which would mean that they would have to play on the Sunday. If that's the case, then we have to deal with it. What I will say is that I'm pretty sure the players, when it comes to that match, whether they've got a week to prepare or a day to prepare, they'll be ready for the game. If, for example, the league could agree to come forward and play on the Friday night, if you had all the fixtures on the Friday night, then it makes sense then that you've got the Saturday, Sunday for the players to recover, and three working days into the game on the Thursday would be a benefit. If not, then you're going to have the games on the Saturday, Sunday, Monday to recover, and 2 days to work into the game on the Thursday. But like I said, I'm sure no matter how long we've got to prepare, and we can do a lot of work in the classroom, if you like, the video work, the team will be ready for the game anyway.
I'm trying to explain this without everyone having to get their calendars out. Scotland play Israel on the 26th of March. They would then have to go and play on the 31st, either away at Serbia or Norway, hopefully, if we win the first one. So 26th of March, which is a Thursday evening, right?
Yeah, Thursday.
Now, the weekend before that, obviously the 21st and 22nd, that's where Stevie Clark is hoping something can be done. He's hoping that SPFL would move the card to the Friday night, Friday the 20th. Let me just put a disclaimer in here. This is all redundant if Celtic and Rangers progress, mm-hmm. because there's a Europa League week.
Yeah. So they need to play the Sunday.
And they would have to play in the Sunday, which we don't want either, because we want our teams to go as far in the Europa League as possible. So the only real solution would be if the worst were to happen and Celtic and Rangers weren't to make it through. Could you see that happening? Could you see a full Friday night fixture card to give Stevie Clark and the Scotland team that little boost, even though a lot of the players will play in England anyway?
Yeah, why not? If we can help, if the country can come together, and the 6-4 at Hampden, the SPFL and the SFA can come together, you'd like to think so, because it benefits the whole nation. You also get the broadcasters involved as well, Sky Sports and BT. I mean, there would only be one fixture that would appeal, which Rangers are away that weekend. Gordon, I can't remember off the top of my head who Rangers are away to, but that would be the one game that would appeal to the broadcaster. So you're potentially, you know, looking at now. You could also say that if they want to make the TV game a standalone fixture and Rangers are not in Europe, you could move Rangers to the Thursday night and play the rest of the games in the Friday night or something like that. So there's a wee bit of option, but all bets are off if Celtic and Rangers get through, and it's only the one game. It's not like another tie beyond that. So if Celtic beat Copenhagen and Rangers beat Braga, all bets are off. They have to go because there's no room in the calendar to manoeuvre. If Celtic and Rangers are knocked out, then you'd like to think that we could bring the schedule forward 24 hours, maybe even 48 hours.
I mean, Israel are having a shutdown, so to speak, Jim. They're doing their bit. They're taking the domestic card away. However, maybe there's a lot of those players who don't actually play in Israel, yeah, and they won't benefit from it. So where do you stand on it? Are we making too much of it, or should we at least try and do something?
I think you should try, but I do think that you know, it's difficult because, yeah, you could close down a domestic, but you know, if half your players are playing in England at different levels as well, Championship and Premier League, then, you know, and even somebody like Lauren Shankland, who plays for Dundee United, playing the Championship, you know, so it's just, you know, it's too far away for me just now. But I don't disagree with the fact that you could play in the Friday night, you could arrange it, and then if as Matt was saying there, Rangers and Celtic are still in Europe, then fine, they play on the Sunday. But it's more about the recovery, because he won't, you know, Stevie Clark's already said he's not going to do any work with them. It's more about just giving them another day's rest.
Any wee niggles, yeah, it's, yeah, an extra,
it's just another 24 hours for settle down. So yeah, I think if we could do it, ideal. But you know, as you said, not everyone's playing in Scotland. You know, again, you even if you trade the other games, even Rangers are in Europe, play them on Sunday, play all the other games on Friday. So you have the likes of the Aberdeen player, like Declan Gallagher at Motherwell, you know, Scott McKenna, so on and so forth. So other players have that one day's rest. Listen, let's try and make it as helpful a situation as we possibly can.
Okay, let's take another call on tonight's action. If you've got any thoughts on a potential rescheduling to help Scotland out or those injuries, get your calls in 01419511025. Jerry wants to talk about the domestic stuff. Well, hi, Jerry.
Hi.
How are you?
Good evening, guys. I'm good, Gordon, thank you. I mean, weren't long in Dubai then, unless that was a scam or
flying visit. Or just a flying visit, Jerry, that's all right. It was.
Okay, now I was just thinking of the window so far this month, with both Rangers and Celtic. Now, Celtic have sent in possibly two. We think this guy Soro is going to, nobody knows anything about him or even Klamala. But I was looking at the Rangers squad, and I don't think Rangers, it would be a mistake if Gerrard doesn't add to his squad in this window, because the squad is actually thinner than you think. You look at the five who are in midfield, and I'm counting Kent and Aribo as midfield. You've only got two more options with Ojo and Arfield. Doesn't fancy Doherty. King's moved out. There's not a lot of scope there, and I think that veiled threat about from Gerrard about the guys who came in the other night there against Renard, never actually stepped up to the mark. Now, Barker, Halliday, Jones and Stewart, to me, are nowhere near the class that Gerrard should be looking for. And if you look at Celtic's 18 tonight, there's no Rogic, for some reason, has disappeared completely from the last game there. He's not even on the bench. So we've got Rogic, Forrest, El Hamed and El Yunusi, who are not even in the 18. Now, if you compare that to the Rangers squad, they couldn't possibly look at that kind of quality for not even on his bench. And I think come March and April, Rangers will definitely falter. And the fact that he's not added, I think, gives Celtic the upper hand in the running.
Well, there's 9 days of the window to go, Jerry. I think if you assess both squads just now, I've said all season, I think Celtic do have a better squad, a stronger squad, but Rangers are better. And despite what you've said there in terms of, you know, four or five Celtic players that aren't even in the 18 tonight, again, the Rangers squad all day long, Rangers are still potentially, the league's in their hands. You know, if they win their game in hand, they're top of the league ahead of Celtic. Celtic have spent £5 or £6 million already on Soro and Klimala. We don't know what like they're going to be, what kind of contribution they can make, but for sure it's certainly going to be helpful. It's not going to be a hindrance to have those two guys in the door for the next 4 months. But I think that one thing about Steven Gerrard and the Rangers board, that they don't have the luxury that Celtic have had in terms of their finances. So I think they've kind of thrown almost every penny they can at it, you know, during the summer to build a strong squad. I think if they had to try and do something, you know, and spend a few quid, they'd need to sell somebody, find somebody to sell to raise the funds. But I'm told, I think I said it last Wednesday night, that there's one player that they have in mind that they're trying to get over the line between now and the closure of the window. Now, Gerry, well, that's a centre forward, a centre half, a right back, centre mid, I've no idea. But I'm told there's one target that they have in mind, and they're working hard to try and get it. Might be a loan, might be a permanent, I don't know. But there's one guy.
Jim, Gerry might well be right, and in fact you might even find Rangers fans who would agree and say, well, yeah, if we were to get injuries or whatever to certain positions, we could struggle. But of course you might not get those injuries, and as it stands, Rangers seem to have a squad balance that's working just fine.
Yeah, it's a strong starting 11. You know, obviously the option up front with Alfredo Morelos and Jermaine Defoe. But the rest of the team pretty much has been picking itself, and consistency is a good thing if you're getting good results, and Rangers have had good results, so therefore he's not going to change too much. Arfield's the other one that can come in a little bit, obviously Greg Stewart at times, but I do agree with Gerry in some aspects. I mean, Barker's still got to show a little bit more. Jordan Jones obviously was injured for 3 months, has got to you know raise his game and show that he can be a Rangers player and be a challenge to Ryan Kent, or at least an option. But I mean, it depends if Rangers are still in Europe and they've got Europa League games further down the line. It does stretch the resources, but I think at this moment in time, just coming back from the winter break, over the next month, I don't really think it'll make a significant difference, because everyone is available, is fit and healthy.
Gerry, just quickly, because we are a bit late, we're a bit short on time, how do you see the games panning out tonight?
Right, now, although I've had a slight go at Rangers, I wouldn't surprise me if they won 4-0, but as I say, it's, they've only got Ojo and Arfield as adding to that original five. Celtic could be a slight problem, and it's strange that Taylor hasn't started. That is a bit odd, but the wide men, it could be one of those 1-1 or 5-0 for Celtic.
One of two ways, says Gerry and Erskine. We'll find out between now and about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and you can give us a call back and react to it some other time. Gerry, we've got a cracker of a full time teaser. You're going to need to get your thinking caps on. It's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are just over 15 minutes away from kickoff. Big games all across the Premiership tonight, so there's still plenty of time for you to get involved. Let us know what you make of the starting 11. How do you see your team performing tonight? How good is it to have the top flight back after that 3 week break? We're on the phones and on Twitter. Scotty McCoo's on, actually. He said, I don't know if you guys noticed this, Mark, I know you were over at the Barcelona game on Sunday. It's the Copa del Rey tonight. Barcelona got drawn to Ibiza away. As far as away days go, and I mean, I know you're a non-drinker, Jim Duffy, but I'm sure you can appreciate away to Ibiza. It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I think there'll be a few supporters might fancy a wee trip there if it ever happened. But yeah, you're right, nice place to go.
Scotty says there wouldn't be enough hotel rooms or Estrella on the island if Rangers or Celtic were drawn in the Europa League. And by the way, Barca are losing that game. They are losing.
With the new manager too.
There we go. It's because Mark Guidi's been over meddling, trying to get Alfredo Morelos a move to Barcelona over the weekend. Right. Anyway, I'm not being serious about that, by the way, if you're just joining us. What about tonight's teaser? This one's been sent in by Greg Stevenson, so thank you to Greg for sending it in. I like it. I really like it. Mm-hmm. It's topical as well. Mm-hmm. So Greg says, can you name 10 players still in the Scottish Cup this season who've previously won it with a non-Old Firm team, but not the team they currently play for?
Right, 10 players. So Ricky Foster?
They get knocked out.
Oh, they could be bad.
So 10 players still in the Scottish Cup who've previously won it with a non-Old Firm team, but not the team they currently play for. Just as a rule, they must have played in the final. When we say, you know, won the Scottish Cup, they must have played in the final.
Oh, right, okay, right. So, but good.
I think the ones that
that win it.
You've got the question.
Johnny Hayes?
No.
Is he the only one that we are in Inverness Caledonia?
No.
No, so you, so we have to go back to 2000 and
it was it four, St. Johnstone 2016
rather. So we would maybe get one or two from there. So Hibs. I said Dylan McGeoch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're on track now. Dylan McGeoch with Hibs now at Aberdeen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he's still in the Scottish Cup because he's at Aberdeen. He's previously won it for another non-Old Firm team that he doesn't play for at the moment. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's always a bit easier once you get one. Dylan McGeoch is your first answer.
Okay. And we.
Fontaine?
No.
No, you need to give us a.
Okay.
Yeah, Bartley.
Didn't play in the final. Oh, I thought he was going to be one. I thought he was, and I thought that was going to be one of the tricky ones. Did not play in that final.
Okay, right, okay, right. A good one, I like that.
Right, you
like
can help that. Us on Twitter. They're all, most of them are gettable, you know, as you would imagine, because they're all still playing at the moment. So 10 players still in the Scottish Cup this season. They've previously won it with a non-Old Firm team, but not the team they currently play for. And they must have played in the final. We're going to speak to John in just a second. Let's take a closer look at some of the other fixtures tonight. Kick off by hearing from Brian Rice.
I've seen a wee bit of Hibs. I know Jack well. Hibs have got good attacking players. You know, they're a goal threat. Definitely a goal threat. I don't think you'll see many games where Hibs don't score a goal, you know, with the threat that they've got going forward. But, you know, we need to make sure they need to defend as well. We went to Parkhead and lost narrowly. We went to Aberdeen and lost narrowly. We went to Tynecastle and drew. So there has been good, positive performances. The result at Motherwell, obviously, you know, makes it different. But we know what we need to do when we're away from home. So like I say, it's going to be really tough at Easter Road, but we'll look forward to it.
This of course comes against the backdrop of Brian Rice and his gambling admission. Stuff like that really puts football in perspective. I think we would all agree with that. Having said that, I'm sure he'll just be desperate to get back out and do what he likes to do in terms of managing football sides, and the fans will all get behind him as well.
It's always a difficult one because ultimately it's a personal situation that he's got to deal with, you know, for Brian himself. But as a manager, you need to focus on your job, and his job is to get results for Hamilton Accies. And going away to Hibs tonight is going to be a test. But as he said there, you know, they're always a team fully committed. They've got some decent footballers. They've always got a sprinkling of young players, and again, they've managed to produce these players. I've always admired the philosophy and the way they develop players and still manage to sustain their Premier League status. I think it'll be a tougher year this year because of the changes other teams have made, like Hibs, like Hearts. St Johnstone have improved significantly. So I think it'll be this is probably going to be the toughest test for Hamilton in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a tough one, and for Brian Rice too. And you know, the good thing is he's had a lot of support, which is important, and you know, he's held his hands up, and you know what, I know the game of football, the authorities have got a job to do as well when you break rules, but I think you also have to be mindful of the bigger picture, and that's what I think is a real difficult one for authorities, where you know you need to be careful what you do because there's people livelihood at stake, and what you've got to remember about people with gambling, and like guys like John Hartson speak, you know, about, you know, it's an illness, it's a disease. You know, so therefore, you know, you've got to be mindful that, yeah, you're breaking rules, but you've also got to offer help. You know, as a football, as the kind of the overall employers of our game, you've also got to offer help and hope to people rather than throwing them in the scrap heap.
We have spoken about it at length in the past couple of nights, so it really is back to football for Hamilton Accies this evening. Just one of the fantastic fixtures we've got coming up. We're on Twitter still at Clyde SSB. Guess he's coming in for the teaser. Peter Gray went for Johnny Hayes, same as you guys, but he's not one, I'm afraid. Sean is just currently listening to Clyde Super Scoreboard in Turkey before the Rangers game. Oh. Beer in hand, he says. He's just rubbing it into you two. They're stuck here in Clyde Bank. Not that there's anything.
I've got another
that
one, I think.
Okay.
Ryan Christie with Inverness.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I had, Ryan Christie, so that's my lot.
Raz Cool's gone Fraser Fivey. He's at Cove though, so he's not He's not one. John is in Coatbridge. As a Celtic fan, John, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi guys. See, before I make my point, I tried to go on the other night, Gordon, about Brian Rice. I'd like to commend him. I had a gambling problem myself at one point, but I've come out the other side, you know. But I think it's very brave of the guy for what he's done. And as Mark says, should be more help for these guys, you know what I mean? Well said, Mark, you know what I mean? I want to commend the guy for his bravery and coming out, you know what I mean?
Good man, John.
But anyway, my main point tonight, Mark, is big. Don't be wrong, I'm excited with the Celtic team tonight, playing Griff and Edward up front. But is Big Rogic injured, do you know, Mark? Because I thought he was coming back to a bit of his best. You know what I mean? I thought he could be the difference between the second half of the season if he keeps fit.
I'll take that on Mark's behalf, if you don't mind, just because we were obviously speaking to Neil Lennon. It wasn't one that he flagged up, Mark. So whether it's something that's just happened to Tom Rogic or...
Maybe it's the AstroTurf. Maybe it's the surface.
Maybe the pitch.
He has
had a few injury problems, and a lot of times
Šumunović is in players, on that surface tonight. That's not to say that everyone's the same, but it certainly is a surprise at the moment, until such times as we speak to Neil Lennon again and ask him exactly what's going on.
I don't think it was form related, because all accounts he played very well against Partick Thistle, Celtic's best player. So he thought, well, maybe if he dropped to the bench. I can only think he's either picked up a knock, or there's something suggested don't want to risk him on the AstroTurf. I don't think it would be to do with form, John, so I would expect to see him back in the team on Saturday.
Is he one that could be a big loss tonight, do you think, John, with no Ryan Christie as well?
I think Rogic is on form. He's Celtic's best player along with Edward. But as I say, when I looked at the team, and I was saying to myself, I wonder what's wrong here, you know what I mean? But I say it's good to see young Arzani back on the bench as well. But do you think, Mark, this is the way, and Jim, that Neil's going to go? Maybe try the two up front for the second half of the season, to see how it goes?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, I think
three at the back as well.
Yeah, the three at the back, you know, again, it gives him so much, you know, many options. I don't think it'll be 100%. I don't think he's thinking, right, okay, I'm going to play two every week. Because I think the moment he's not got Forrest available, he's not got Christie, he's not got Elanusi. And I think if he gets Elanusi back and Forrest back, I think he might get back to the 4-2-3-1. But while he's got these players missing, I think it's a really good option for them to have the wing backs, give them the width and the pace, and still having two top class strikers. So I think at the moment John will stick with it, but when all the players are fit, I think he might get back to the 4-2-3-1.
Very quickly, any more on the teaser?
No,
not for me.
Okay, I'll give you some thinking time. We have kickoff fast approaching. We're going to go back to Rugby Park and Ibrox next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
The players are in the tunnels around the country. The Premiership is about to return. Let's get a flavour of the build-up and a recap of the teams at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock against Celtic with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just the one change for Kilmarnock. Greg Kilty drops out, and in comes Nicky Kabamba for his first start. A 4-3-3 for them. It's Jan Koprivec in goal. A back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Alex Bruce, Stuart Finlay and Nico Hamalainen. The midfield three, Alan Power, Gary Dicker and Mo El-Macrini, with Chris Burke and Nicky Kabamba either side of Harry Bunn up top. As for Celtic, three changes from that win against Partick Thistle. Beaton, Taylor and Rogic drop out. Šumunović, Hayes and Ayer all come in. A 3-5-2 for them. Fraser Forster in goal. A back three of Šumunović, Julian and Ayer. The midfield five, Jeremy Frimpong, Olivier Cham, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor and Johnny Hayes, with Lee Griffiths and Odson Edward up top. The Chadwick stand to my left-hand side, absolutely packed to the rafters with Celtic fans. The other three stands, maybe not as full as they used to be here under Steve Clark for these types of games. Steve Clark actually here tonight. I'm sure he'll be keeping a close eye on the progress of Lee Griffiths, who of course starts up front for Celtic, but the last two matches between these sides have both been decided by injury time winners. A Scott Brown goal that hit the hand of Alex Bruce for the last game here, and a Stuart Finlay header for Kilmarnock to win it for the game before that. So I wonder if we'll see any more late drama tonight.
Let's go to Ibrox. Kickoff fast approaching for the game against St Mirren. Alison Conroy.
Yeah, just waiting on the teams to come out the tunnel here at Ibrox for Rangers against St Mirren. Rangers make six changes from that Scottish Cup win against Stranraer at the weekend. It'll be Alan McGregor in goal, a back four of John Flanagan, Conor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Borna Barisic. In the midfield, Glenn Kamara, Ryan Jack and Stephen Davis, Joe Aribo and Ryan Kent just behind the lone striker of Jermaine Defoe. One change for St Mirren from that Scottish Cup win over Broxburn. Vaclav Gladke in goal, a back five of Ryan Flynn, Paul McGinn, Conor McCarthy, Akin, Vanho and Callum Waters in the midfield. Junior Murray, Cammy McPherson, Sam Foley and Kyle McGuinness, the lone striker for St Mirren tonight, Jonathan Obika. The referee at Ibrox is Nick Walsh. 1991, the last time St Mirren won at Ibrox. The sides last met in Paisley back in August, and it was that Borna Barisic free kick that was the difference between the sides. As the teams do come out the tunnel here, it will be Rangers against St Mirren.
And just like that, we are back. 23 days, was it, Mark Greedy, since the last game in the Premiership?
24.
It seems like a long old time ago, even though there's been quite a few talking points in between, in case you hadn't noticed. But we're back, a full card tonight. Six games, top, middle and bottom. Lots of questions to be answered. It's good to have everyone back, isn't it?
Ah, it's great, it's brilliant. You know, we've got what a brilliant league race we've got going on. Fight for third and fourth. Good fight at the bottom, fighting into the top six. You know, we are very, very fortunate to have it, and it's going all the way. It's going right to the wire.
Yeah, it's such a competitive league. It's brilliant. Aye. You know, so it's for everybody, every team. There's no one can just kind of rest, and there's no mid-table mediocrity. So you know, it's fantastic for everyone.
Aberdeen, Motherwell, Hibs, Hamilton, Kilmarnock, Celtic, Livingston, St Johnstone, Rangers, St Mirren and Ross County Hearts. A full midweek card under the lights in the Premiership. Hopefully we get the drama to follow. The games are kicking off right now, so we'll keep you up to speed on anything of note inside the opening stages, just before we disappear, just before 8 o'clock. But before any of that, we need to make some progress on this teaser. Now the question is this: we're looking for 10 players who are still in the Scottish Cup. They've previously won it with a non-Old Firm team, but not the team they're currently at. Guys like Ryan Christie, he's still in the Cup, he plays for Celtic, and he previously won it for Inverness. Dylan McGeoch previously won it with Hibs, and he's still in the Cup because he's at Aberdeen. Have you got any more?
David Goodwillie won it with Dundee United 2010, still in the Cup with Clyde.
Brilliant, well done.
Brian Easton played left back for St Johnstone, I believe, and is still in the Cup
with Hamilton.
2014 St Johnstone.
Yes.
And also from that St Johnstone team, Stephen McLean, still in the Cup with Hearts.
Brilliant, well done. Token Jester's given us a right good go. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's a goalie in there,
them.
I think
there
Gordon,
is
there a goalie
in
there?
Just a few more things coming in on Twitter. It's got a good response. This Boy Chalk says, why is Liam Fontaine not allowed? He played in the final for Hibs. He did, but he's at Ross County and they're out of the Cup. Peter Gray has thrown in David Goodwillie. He's got another one that you're still looking for. He's also gone Michael Gardine though, again at Ross County, out the Cup, so that doesn't count. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to go. There is a goalie in there.
Yeah, and I can't think of a top flight goalie. So is it somebody that's from, because there's five teams out with the top flight.
The goalie is by an absolute mile the highest profile player left.
Or the highest profile player
that you've not got yet. In fact, even out of them all, this is not an obscure name from Scottish football. Trust me.
Craig Gordon, is it?
It is.
Yeah, Craig
one
Gordon.
One of the Hearts.
Right. Okay. Right. Brilliant.
Craig Gordon. Right. Let's hear a bit more from the managers. The games are kicking off, so we'll quickly squeeze these clips in before they become out of date. Stephen Robinson going up to Aberdeen tonight.
3rd v 4th. So as we go there, absolutely nothing to lose. I've total respect for Aberdeen and the job that Derek and Tony have done up there. You know what they've done consistently over the last while, and they've consistently finished in the top 2 and 3, competed with the bigger teams in the league, and you know got the cup finals on a regular basis. So you know their record is superb up there, but we've made a bit more competition of it this year. You know, we're right up there, and I think we have to go there with every confidence that we can get a result.
Up against Derek McInnes tonight.
I think Motherwell will come out and show they're a good side, which they are. I think they've got good players. I think home and away, they have a way of playing, and they carry a threat with their front three, whatever three that is. And they've got good options there. Middle of the park, good energy and good ability in there. And they'll try and push the fullbacks on. So I feel as though that kind of know what Motherwell strengths are and what they've been doing a lot right this season, which has got them up to where they are, and credit to them for that. So, you know, like I say, I think it'll be two teams wanting to win. I think anything other than a win will be a disappointing result for both teams, and it probably tells you where Motherwell are at the minute. But for us, it's a home game against a team in and around us. And even at this stage of the season, there's still plenty of games to go. You would see the importance of picking up all 3 points.
So no early goals to tell you about, though we did have a good opening for Celtic. Lee Griffiths with a clear sight of goal, Jim, but he slipped right at the crucial moment. It's pouring at Rugby Park. We know the artificial pitch can get a bit slick, so I don't know if that had something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a through ball there. It was a mistake, and then and Lee Griffiths went through. And actually, I thought he might have went down under the challenge, but then he obviously on his left foot, he's thinking, "No, I'm going to score here," and he slipped. And then just a few seconds after that, the ball came to Edouard again. Really good skill in the box, and he slipped. So I don't know whether it's footwear or whether it's the pitch or whatever, but it's always a wee bit frustrating for a manager when you see players slipping, because obviously part of the warm up and the adjustment to the circumstances is making sure your footwear's correct.
Yeah, it was a typical Lee Griffiths opportunity, Mark, because right on the shoulder. It was actually a mistake.
Well.
It was a mistake from Kilmarnock, but he was on the shoulder there to take the opportunity. And Jim says just slipped at the crucial moment. It's interesting to watch what happens in that regard, because Edouard again, and Jim right about the footwear, but on the Astro, when it gets slippy, there's perhaps only so much you can do.
Yeah, I mean, it was an opportunity for Lee Griffiths, you know, 13-14 yards out, just slightly left of the goal, but perfect for him on his left peg. And just as he's about to pull the trigger, he lost his footing. So a potential let off for Kelly, because you would have fancied Lee Griffiths to hit the target from that range.
Anything tactically or the way teams are set up, Jim, anything that's jumping out at you with 5 minutes gone, have you drawn any conclusions from it yet?
No, I just think Celtic playing the three at the back, obviously, like Simunovic is playing really wide, actually, you know, almost like a right back at times, you know, Julian in the middle, Ayer in the left side, and you know, you can hardly see Frimpong, he's playing that high up the pitch. One of the callers earlier on saying he's been playing with a right winger, but he's almost playing like that tonight, and getting the first corner for Celtic high up the pitch within you know, the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, Celtic winning the corner. Kilmarnock feel it was the wrong decision, but it is going to be a corner kick anyway, so Celtic will send the big men up to try and capitalise. Still goalless elsewhere. Liam Gordon has an effort at goal for St Johnstone at Livingston. Chance for Oakley for Hamilton Accies. That doesn't come to anything, but Accies are trying to push forward in the opening stages. Counter attack from Ross County as they look to take the early advantage, but nothing doing early on. Is that another corner to Celtic? Yeah. Stephen O'Donnell at the back post, just heading it away.
Yeah, it was a bit of a floaty corner from Lee Griffiths. Normally he whips him in, but maybe it's something, a ploy that they've looked to draw the three big guys in and get Edouard in the back post. But Stephen O'Donnell was switched on and got another header. So this time will be an outswinger. Lee Griffiths going all the way across to take it again, and this time an outswinger. But you know, the three big centre halves will be looking to try and impose himself in the penalty box.
Just out of curiosity, are you a in swinger or an out swinger man, Jim? Some managers swear by one or the other. Some like to mix it up. Do you have a preference?
No, I mix it up. No, I think I just like to mix it up. I think that everything else, I think when you know, depends on the delivery, and also depends on, you know, who you've got to attack the ball. But yeah, we've actually got pretty good delivery. We've got a boy Joe McKee who's terrific at set plays, and he's really good delivery. And you know, we've scored a few goals from set pieces at this time here. Celtic going, and I think it's Simunovic,
good save.
With a header and a decent save.
Koprovic is a good save, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's a good header. It's one, maybe a bit spectacular.
Is that for the cameras? Come on, Mark Greedy. I know you've got your goalkeepers union membership.
No, listen, I don't like TV saves, but no, I think that was a genuine good claw for his right hand.
Okay. Well, we can discuss that again on our way out of the building, because the show's nearly done.
I need clues.
What I was going to say though, again though, as the corner came in, it was Stuart Finlay that slipped this time. I think clearly, Jim, that pitch is just going to be difficult for everyone tonight.
Yeah, well, again, if it's been raining, I know they do water it as well, you know, so maybe they've watered it, and then all of a sudden the rain comes down as well. And players maybe in the warm up has changed, but yeah, it's certainly, I mean, it should suit Kilmarnock a little bit more. They should be used to it. But Celtic have certainly started well. There was one little moment of indecision when the ball went over the top and Frimpong was going back. Foster came out. I actually think Frimpong made 100% the right decision, because I don't think Foster was getting there. Took it away. But other than that, Celtic been on the front foot, and Kilmarnock, as you would expect, defending and just holding on at the moment.
Okay, yeah. 10 players still in the Scottish Cup who've previously won it with an Arnold Firm team, but not the team they currently play for. They must have played in the final. So guys like Ryan Christie, Stephen McLean, David Goodwillie, Dylan McGeoch, Craig Gordon, Brian Easton. Four to go.
No, I've not got another one.
I'm toiling.
Well, you have identified all of the relevant finals. So all of the guys that are remaining played in one of the finals. With some of the other answers.
Right, okay, so we're looking at St Johnstone, Hearts, Hibs, Dundee United.
Let's forget about St Johnstone. You're done with St Johnstone.
Hearts, Dundee United.
You've still got a couple from Dundee United.
From 2010, Peter Houston's team.
I think
Scott Robertson.
No.
You said Paul Dixon. You said no. When it was a no.
Paul Dixon didn't play.
Sean Dillon. He's at Montrose. They're not in it.
Right. What if I tell you the teams that they're currently at?
Okay.
One is at St Johnson. Used to play for Dundee United. And one is at Falkirk. Used to play for Dundee United.
Margaro Gomez.
Margaro Gomez. Yes. Aye. What about the other one? I thought this was the easier of the two. He's at St Johnson. He's not maybe playing a lot of football. I'm trying to think if that's why. Maybe
he's at St Johnson. And he was at Dundee United. Oh yeah, I'll tell you who it is. It's Keith Watson.
No.
Oh.
Witherspoon.
Danny Swanson.
Is he not just away somewhere? Did I not see him going away somewhere recently?
Oh, there we go. We can take him off if he has. Maybe the research was done just before. Right, quick, the Hibs final. He now plays for Inverness. Came on as a sub for Hibs
in the final.
He's also played for Hearts. He's played for Hamilton Accies. Celtic missed a golden chance.
James Keatings.
Right. Now plays for Livy. Won the cup with Hearts way back.
Craig Calvert? No, he's at Hearts.
Gonna have to put you out of your misery.
No.
Scott Robinson.
All right.
Thank you very much to Jim and Mark. Please join us tomorrow at 6. We'll have all the fallout from tonight's games, and Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.